All right, so this week we're going to start something a little new. We're going to go through, who does Jesus say he is? And so we focus so much on who is God and that Jesus indeed says he's God. But who does Jesus really say he is? And how can we liken that to who God says he is? And it's kind of drawing parallels, and that's what John does a lot in his book, is he draws parallels between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so we're going to get into a lot of those parallels over the next few weeks. But this week we're going to start off with Genesis 1 and John 1. They're kind of important, you know, in the whole light of everything. This is John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So, we're going to see the first thing. The first words are the exact same. And John is not trying to hold back that, hey, I'm going to draw parallels here between who God says he is and who Jesus is. Starts off within the beginning. Augustine wrote that the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The new is in the old concealed. So everything that God is talking about in the Old Testament, we see it in the new. And if we look at the Old Testament first, if we look at the New Testament first, we'll see the old. Right? One is the other, and the other is the one. God really doesn't change his story at all. From Genesis 1 to Revelation, right? None of it changes. It's the same. So, John is writing like this is a big mirror. The whole thing, right? And he starts off with in the beginning, right? Same three words Genesis starts off with. Of course, it's Greek versus Hebrew. But he starts off, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. John writes, in the beginning was the Word. He's being very intentional with his, this is what I'm going to do. This is his thesis statement. Of the whole book, we get down to John 20, he starts writing that all of this was written so that you would know who Jesus is. He's being intentional with his comparison to Genesis. Right? The beginning, the word there is arche. It literally means a first cause. That is literally what it means. The first cause was the Word. And the Word was God. And, you know, we see it in logic, it's seen, right? People say, oh, well, you know, everything that begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. That's what he's talking about here. Literally, in the beginning, or at the first cause. He was present at the first cause. Before anything else, he was there. Right? He is that cause. Often it comes down to this first causer, this prime causer, or the one who starts it all off. Kicks it all off, gets it all started. So, the first cause was the Word. In the beginning, arche. The word is logos, or logos. It means word or speech. In the beginning, or at the first cause, was the Word. This is what it seems when God speaks everything into existence, right? God says it happens. So we have the Word. God's Word makes everything come into existence. Nothing comes into existence without the Word, right? God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be vegetation, there was vegetation. God said, let the, you know, there be an expanse between the firmament, and there was. God speaks, it exists. It's a special attribute of his word. It is a creative power. His word serves to create. That's what it does. That's what it is. It is creative. But even more importantly, right? It's not just an it. It's with God. The Word was with God. It shows there's more than one entity in heaven before everything begins. At the first cause was the Word, and the Word was with God. Nothing else has been caused to exist yet. Big note. Huge note. The Word was never created. John gets into that, right? He says, He created everything. Nothing came into existence apart from Him. So nothing began to exist apart from Him. You know, outside of the Word. So certain cults will try to change this point, right? Or try to change portions of this verse to show that the Word isn't God. You can't differentiate between the Word being God and the Word being Jesus. So you have to change this verse so that you can make it to where the Word's not God. And there are cults that will do that, and what they do is they put an A in front of the word God. So they'll say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Meaning He's not God Almighty, but the Word's, you know, He's up there. That's an incorrect understanding of how that works. Right? But they do this because they want to lessen who Jesus is. You want to lessen who Jesus is? Just change that verse a little bit. You can manufacture whatever you want Jesus to be just by changing this verse. Problem is when you change the verse, you have to ignore everything else that the Bible says about who Jesus is. This isn't the only place where He's called God. Right, so in the beginning, right, John wants to ensure that his readers understand that this is before speech was even uttered. Before anything has happened, before speech has been uttered, before all of it, He was with God in the beginning. He's setting up a starting point. So the concept of being of Jesus being God is fully understood. So that we can fully comprehend that Jesus isn't a created being. That He's not some other entity like an angel. That Jesus is God. We see that here. In the beginning, at the first cause, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he uses the pronoun he. And he does that on purpose and with a purpose. Right? Remember, the nothing that John or any other writer of the Bible does is without purpose. Okay? So he's doing this on purpose. And he's using this pronoun to ensure that people understand that all the parts of the Trinity are not parts of the Trinity, but persons of the Trinity. He purposely says he. So we understand that it's a person. He also attributes he to the Holy Spirit later on. So that we understand the Holy Spirit is a person, not parts. These aren't inanimate objects. We're talking God. He wants to ensure that his reader understands that we're talking about God as a person. Because that's who God is. But he's also using it so that we're not using God the Father as God the Son or as God the Holy Spirit. He's ensuring that we understand that they are all separate entities. Created through him. So I'm going to get a little bit into the weeds here, but we have Creatio ex nihilo, which means creation from nothing. At the first cause was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? But then he talks about everything. He created everything. Right? So that nothing that came into being, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So nothing can begin to exist without a cause. Created everything. Jesus is the Word. Spoke, and it came. He spoke, it happened. He spoke, it happened. Right? There was nothing else. There was nothing. This nothing is a real nothing. It's not this fake nothing that science wants to tell us. It is literally nothing. Absolute absence of anything. There's nothing. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. So, scientists today want to call nothing something and something nothing. If that makes sense. It doesn't to me, but, you know, I don't get it either. But this is showing us that there is nothing. Absolute absence of anything. There's not this fake nothing. Right? And there were 7 days. 7 literal days. Right? And the reason that I say 7 literal days is because in the Bible it says there was morning and evening day 1, morning and evening day 2, morning and evening day 3. Morning and evening day 4, morning and evening day 5, morning and evening day 6. And then day 7, God rested. Doesn't talk about morning and evening. But based on the use of morning and evening, I can assume, and with Yom everywhere else there, I can assume that it is indeed 7 literal days. Right? What this shows us in God creating everything is that God is personal and desires for us to know him personally. He doesn't create something intelligent and desire nothing with regards to commune. Nobody would. We create robots, right? We create artificial intelligence. And what's the desire? That we can communicate with them. The desire is for commune.
His words, have one. She's called Alexa.
His word says this. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And yes, it is us, our. There's more than one entity here. "And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God gave them dominion. You're the number one creation. You have dominion over everything. You have rule over everything. That's what dominion means, is rule. You have rule over everything. And God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is just a shortened account of what comes in Genesis 2. Created, his image, image of God. This is called the Imago Dei. Right? The image of God. It's a common characteristic to all of mankind. God created one race, that's the human race. We dispersed the Tower of Babel. And now, we have every make and model. But we all have one thing in common. We have a conscience. We have morals. This would be the conscience and moral characteristics of man. Right? It's common to all of mankind. We may say, "Oh, well, what about this person? They don't have morals." Yeah, well, why do they hide what they do? Why do they do these things in secret? I've heard that said a lot about, like, murderers. Murderers don't have a conscience. Yes, they do. Otherwise, why would they hide it?
Because they don't want to go to jail. Yeah.
Because they know it's wrong.
They know it's wrong, yeah.
Conscience, it's Latin. It's based on Latin. It means with knowledge. Con, science. With knowledge.
Are you sure we all have that?
Yes. This is knowledge we obtain throughout the years, as well as knowledge which man is born with. I don't have to teach my children how to do what's wrong. I don't. They know. And they know to hide it, too. They do. They know to hide it. That knowledge of how to hide it and why to hide it shows us. We can tell the difference between right and wrong, without a doubt. And that we're born with it. Look at the Ten Commandments, right? We all basically know that we need to live by these, right?
Well, he's not a practicing.
You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make yourself an idol, nor bow down to it or worship it.
You need to explain that a little further, that one.
We will. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Right? Misuse. The word we use for that is blasphemy. But it also, in misusing, it's how we act. If I say I'm a Christian, and I go out and act foolish, do things wrong, then I am misusing the name of God. You shall remember and keep the Sabbath day holy. You shall respect your father and your mother. Must not commit murder. Must not commit adultery. Must not steal. Must not give false evidence against your neighbor. And you must not be envious of your neighbor's goods. Jesus, he goes into these really in-depth on a few of them, right? Says, anybody who says to his brother, Raca, you fool, right? Has hatred in his heart, they've committed murder already. In your heart, right? Same with adultery. He says, anybody who looks upon another with lust has committed adultery in his heart already. So standards are a little higher, right? Don't steal, you know. I've taken pens home from work. It's theft just the same. It's theft just the same.
You better go around your house.
False evidence against your neighbor, meaning don't lie. Don't be covetous. Don't desire what somebody else has just because they have it. So we see these and we realize that this is a kind of strict standard. But we know all these things to be wrong already. At least a good number of them. I know it's wrong to get on the phone and yell at my mom and dad. I just do. I know that. Because they gave me life. My dad told me once that, you know, I brought you into this world, and so help me, I take you out.
How many times I've said that?
But, you know, but the top three, these are the ones that we have the hardest time with. We know them. Paul tells us in Romans 1 that we know these things intrinsically within us because we see them in nature. We know that there is a God. Just based on what we can see. Our skills of observation are such that we can understand that this world is very complex. If I look at a building, I know there's a builder. So, logically, if I look at a world, it's more complex than a building. I can see with my senses that there's a designer. And if there's a God, and he created me for purpose. A purpose is worship, right worship, right? Not idol worship. Idol worship, that's anything, right? We've talked about, you know, Mark Driscoll's story where he was in East India, and there's a, you know, basically a stage for a chicken god with chicken blood all around it. And he talks to the pastor's wife there. He's like, hey, did you ever come to America? And she's like, America is so full of idolatry. I could never see myself going there. There's a chicken god thing here. What's up with that? You know? And our idols are everything, right? We have sports teams. We worship them. We built multi-million-dollar stadiums in which to worship them. I mean, you know, talking Joel Osteen type stuff. I mean, he did take the compact center from the Rockets, and
see, to me, that's not worshiping. That's not worshiping. I don't think it is.
It gets to that level.
Well, somebody's crazy if they're bowing down and praying to the football team.
But we look at worship and we say, oh, well, you know, this is worship or that is worship. But it's putting them ahead of something else. Those who have to rush out of church on a Sunday morning because the football game's on. Not that, you know, I've ever seen people do that. But that's idol worship.
God, yeah. Right?
That's idol worship.
Listen, right? I've never run out of church because QVC's on.
But, you know, TVs, right? Every chair in the house is pointed at the TV.
Oh,
like it's a stage and the TV's there. And we gotta take our time and be in front of the TV. Right? As a family, we do it. That's worship.
As an old lady, we do it. It's,
right? And misusing the name of God? You know, you may say, oh, I don't blaspheme God's name. I don't say, you know, OMG or, you know, use his name as an expletive or anything like that. Do you walk out of here wearing the name of Christ and break any of the other commandments? Because guess what? The instant you attach, you know, Christian with thief, Christian with, you know, anything else, and it shines a negative light on Christ, you have
Could
gone
you
against
explain,
that one.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord.
I just did.
No, I mean,
it means
why,
carry.
Okay, why
the word
is
means
bad
carry.
To say, oh my God, why is that bad?
Because you're
that?
Misusing it. You're not using his name in reverence.
Okay.
You only use the name
but
of God
saying,
in reverence.
Oh, my God.
I agree. But is it in worship of him? That's how we're to use his name. In worship.
The Jews understood this, but they wouldn't even write out his name in completeness. They would. So the name Yahweh was actually an acronym, YNWH. So they wouldn't write it out completely because there was such reverence for his name, so they shortened it. They wouldn't actually in any way, shape, or form blaspheme his name.
Yeah.
So when people say that, oh my goodness, are they really declaring a praise or an exclamation towards God, or are they saying it as a just a filler word?
Okay, so you can't say, oh my goodness, either?
Oh my goodness. He's saying, oh my goodness, so he doesn't blaspheme.
Saying, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So there's no blasphemy in it.
Put
that in place so they can say that. Yeah, so that's what it's really getting at.
Well, I guess so, last meme then.
And in him was life, in the word, right? Jesus said, right, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, right? They're like, how can we know the way to get to heaven? And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's John 14:6, right? So Jesus came to give life to all. That was his goal. That's the end goal. Now, are we going to reach that goal? The Bible is clear in saying, no, we are not. But that was the understood initial goal of God when he sent his son to this earth, right? For God so loved who? The world. God loved the world. So much so that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him, group number two, right? We have the whole world, that's everybody. Whoever believes in him, we can shrink that down. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. Life forever. So we must believe in Jesus to receive life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, in the one before that, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Yeah.
And that also goes back to the Old Testament.
Yep.
Right?
Well, we're going to get into that verse. We're going to get into that verse later.
Tell him who I am.
Right.
So if Jesus is saying I am, then it got to be God.
Right. We're going to get into that, though. So, God's love. Everyone who has been created by God is loved by God. God loves his creation.
Amen.
And he gave Jesus to die for those who loved him. Those who believe in him. Because it says, right? We have to fast forward to verse 36 for it. But he who believes in the Son has eternal life. We understand that from 3:16. He continues. Says, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. Can you believe in who Jesus is and not obey him? This shows us that no, we can't. If you are not in obedience to Christ, then the wrath of God abides on you. Belief is not this easy believism where push a button, I believe in Jesus. That's not real belief. That's not belief in who Christ is, because we have to obey. Obedience is a sign of who God is and our acknowledgement of it. So do we obey implicitly? Matthew 28, right? Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Not most authority, not some authority, not just a little bit of authority. All of it. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So often, we stop here. Alright, so we made disciples and we baptized them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and we haven't paid attention to the rest of the verse. We stopped. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Not most. I'll teach them most of what I told you. I'll teach them some of what I told you, but teach them all that I've commanded you. So if you love God, right? We've been told that we have to obey. If we love God, we have to go. We have to preach, which we all know just means telling them who Christ is. We have to reach out to them, showing them the love that God has shown us. We don't have to like them. We got to love them, though.
That's a tough one.
And we have to teach them. Because if we stop here, then they don't know who Christ is. If we stop here, they know who he is, but not what he has told us or what we've seen about love. If we stop here, they know about Christ and about love, but not what he's told us to do. So because Jesus is the Word and is, in being the Word, the creator of all, we have to obey. And this is how we do that. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you this morning giving you thanks, God. I thank you for this time you've given us together. And I pray, Father, that that as we go forth from here, that we would go with your word, readily giving it to others and showing others who you are and who you say you are. And God, I thank you for everything that you're doing in us and through us, God. And I pray